This is Football Night in Northern Colorado, presented by Martin Marietta on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Oh, we've been waiting for this for so long, and now it's finally here. It is Football Night in Northern Colorado. Welcome into the program. I am Tanner Schwint, Brady Hull, host of The Hull Show, joining us. We are live from the Allo Communications Studios. We are just about an hour away from opening kickoff for our first Friday night game of the week presented by Buildings by Design, the Meade Mavericks, and the Windsor Wizards doing battle tonight. Brady, we can officially say it. Football is back.
I'm so excited, man. If we're going to have tonight be like last night,
yes,
for our first high school football game, wouldn't that be something? What a game last night. Clark Johnson just absolutely ripping it up at that new Timnath facility.
That's in your neck of the woods.
It is in my neck of the woods. I could see the lights from my house if I crawled up on the roof.
It was an incredible start to the year last night. Fossil Ridge, Loveland. We were wondering how this game was going to go about, because you got Loveland, who plays Brady's style of football, where they may not throw it once. And I think they threw it twice, actually, last night. The Loveland Red Wolves did. And then you got my style of football that's huck it and chuck it and let's just go down the field. Jeff Fulton, Nick Stevens, former CSU quarterback, as the quarterback's coach over at Fossil Ridge as well, and Tyler Kubot, the quarterback for Fossil Ridge. They tore it up last night. No defense to be found anywhere in that game. It was 36-35. Fossil Ridge gets the win. I was a little surprised that it was that high scoring, because normally, Brady, you talk with college coaches, you talk with just everybody surrounding football. Normally, defense is ahead of the offense when it comes to the early season portion of the season.
Yeah, it kind of just seems like that's the way things go. But surprise, surprise, we see a lot of offense last night, and those are the best kind of games to call. I mean, yeah. I do like watching a running football game for sure. But if you're broadcasting a game,
yes,
you want points. You want to have something to broadcast.
No one wants to bet the under, ever. And I know we're talking
about
high
betting
school
on high school sports.
I'm not. Okay. Okay.
Just here to help you out.
Very good.
Steer you away from the danger zone.
This is Football Night in Northern Colorado, presented to you by Martin Marietta. Now, normally, you're not going to hear us. Kyle Johnson will be in, but he is out this week. So Brady and I kind of kicking it off here. Kyle Johnson, he'll be having your standouts as soon as some stats get entered in from this first week. He's going to be talking as soon as UNC football starts with Aaron Rath. He's going to be having these conversations leading up. He's going to be looking at some of the other big games around the area. But this is going to be a fun one tonight. Windsor and Meade, obviously Jason Klatt, Joel's brother, kind of the other way around here in the state of Colorado. Now Joel is Jason's brother. With all the success that the Meade Mavericks have been having, they lose in the semifinals last year, I believe, or the state championship. Let me check myself there, Brady, but a lot of success in that Klatt family. I mean, they are just, that is a football family through and through.
Yeah, no question about it, man. I mean, when you have a Joel that's played for the Buffs, and then of course he's done all these great things on the broadcast side of things, I mean, there's a football pedigree there that just screams that you're going to be a successful coach and build up a successful kind of philosophy throughout the area.
Yeah, and I apologize. That was the state championship game last year that Meade lost into the eventual state champ, Fort Morgan. So they lost that one 21-17, but Meade has lost a lot from what Clark Johnson's told us, and Mike Danson, as we've had him on Good Morning NOCO throughout the course of the week. And it's going to be a very, very interesting game tonight. Chris Jones. I mean, Chris Jones has been up here forever, even back when you were doing some of the prep stuff,
yeah,
right, Brady?
Yeah.
And he's always found a way to win. Windsor's been down a little bit. I think that this is their year that they get back a little.
He took a little break in between,
yes, he did,
and then came back a few years after that. But Windsor, and again, from my days in covering, deep prep stuff with Clark and going on the road, Windsor was always one of my favorites. They had a good offense, but it was always their defense. They
yes,
prided themselves on great safety play, great defensive play. And that was kind of just Chris Jones' style. And they've churned out some monster defensive players that have gone on to play at the next level, too. So nothing's really changed there, and I love to see that. There's some coaches that adapt to the players, or some coaches that kind of have them adapt to you. kind of think Chris Jones has a little bit of both there.
Yeah, he does. So the Mean Mavericks last year, 10-3 overall, of course, runner-up in the state championship game. And then you've got Windsor, who 4-7 last year. You don't expect to see these, but a lot of close games that they had that they were just on the other side of. And that typically, to me, points out and says, okay, this is a young team. They're going to open it up. According to Clark Johnson, who I talked with earlier today, he said that Windsor is going to, quote-unquote, open it up more in the passing game. They typically throw three times a game. Could that mean five times a game? I don't know. But that's an interesting thing hearing Chris Jones say.
I always thought that was peculiar when you watched a quarterback under Chris Jones. You'd see him throw it. They looked the part.
Yeah.
You know, and you go, why don't they throw it more? And I think even we interviewed Chris years ago and said, sometimes your quarterbacks, they look really good at this stuff and they can throw it well. And he's like, yeah, that's when we get them all to sleep and then we throw it out and beat them. But he typically has the athletes that can do it. He just stays true to that philosophy.
Yeah, the coaching tree of Chris Jones, too, is continuing to grow. Just to name a few, defensive coordinator for the Roosevelt Rough Riders, Donovan Suman comes. He was a player for Chris Jones, actually. Jeff Van Winkle, head coach of the Severn Silver Knights. He was a coach under Chris Jones over at Windsor as well. So Windsor, we know they've got it. I think this is the year. Listen, Windsor, 4A team. Meade, a 3A team. Meade graduated a lot. Windsor had a rough year last year. This is a close game, I think, all the way around. We'll see what happens. And again, we're not very far away from that. But again, football is back.
Yeah.
Preseason has been going, obviously. But tomorrow, Brady, we get underway with a couple of college games as well that are going to be a lot of fun to unpack and dive into. Now, I was wondering, so our first college game of the day tomorrow is Nebraska and Northwestern. Over in Dublin, Ireland is where they're playing.
Yeah. Bright and early.
Scott Frost came out. I don't know if you saw this, but Scott Frost came out and said that his kids, not kids, but his players were puking like 15 times a day. Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
He was like bragging about it. And I'm like, you should probably get them some water. There's no coach out there that just brags about, hey, I'm making my players puke 15 times. Like, I get a good puke every once in a while. When you're in the middle of two-a-days or whatever, that's got to happen. You don't eat right, you're going to puke every once in a while. But 15 times, that seems a little excessive.
Seems unhealthy, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, and imagine how much you had to feed those guys after they puked everything up at that point. So, in this day and age,
Doesn't it open you up to like a lawsuit?
But it goes back to the days of don't drink water. Water's for cowards, that kind of thing. It's like, no, bro. I need it to function.
Right.
My body, literally, my body will not function if I don't drink water. If I don't keep this food inside of my body. Like, I don't know. I guess it's weird.
It's very weird. How does Scott Frost still have a job?
I don't know. Legendary Nebraska thing is just has some staying power.
It's got to be his last year, right? I mean, if they have a bad year,
something.
If they have a bad year,
he was supposed to be the savior, and so you build it as that. So you build it up big time to your fan base that he's going to come revive this program. He's got a self-claimed title at UCF, but you don't get that done, and you still got to ride it out for a while because you build it up so high that he was going to be the big guy on campus.
Yeah, it's so weird to me. It is so absolutely weird to me that he still has a job. And then bragging about that makes no sense either. But that's the first college game of the year, right? I mean, there's nothing else happening before then. Nebraska, I think they're favored in this game as well against Northwestern. Again, I was talking around the office with a couple of the guys. If you're going to be gambling on this, and of course, gamble responsibly, but Nebraska, 11-point favorites in this against Northwestern.
I think Western Kentucky game, that's the first one.
No, is that right?
Yeah.
Is that Austin, how do you say that? Austin P? P-E-A-Y.
Yeah.
Austin P.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody...
That's at 10. Nebraska, Northwestern's 10:30. At 10:30 on Fox.
Will you tune in for that? Saturday morning, first college game.
No.
It's across the pond somewhere.
Nebraska, maybe. Yeah, probably. I'll have it on in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just nice to have that back. It's nice to have it back. Another big college game taking place that Brady's been diving into a lot on the whole show that we're going to get into when we come back on the other side is the Wyoming-Illinois game.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a very interesting game. We'll dive into that when we come back. It's football night in Northern Colorado, presented by Martin Marietta, right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK. Football Night in Northern Colorado. Welcome back in. I'm Tanner Schwint. Brady Hull joining us today again. Kyle Johnson will be taking the reins from here starting next Friday night. But I'm really excited about this. The Meade Mavericks and the Windsor Wizards down in Meade for the first Friday night game of the year. There's a ton of great games going along throughout throughout the course of the night. And, of course, Angel Padilla will be in giving score updates throughout the course of the game. He's in the out-of-town scoreboard. Kudos to Angel, too. I mean, he was up early with me this morning and producing Good Morning NoCo with me. He produced the whole show from 11 to 2. He's coming back. I'm going to take a guess that he went home and took a nap.
I would probably do the same.
I don't blame him one bit. I don't blame him one bit. But he'll be having the scores and keeping you updated on all the games outside of the area while the game is going on tonight. So, the Wyoming Cowboys taking on Illinois. I don't even know. What is Illinois' mascot?
Fighting Illini.
Is it really?
Illini? Is that how you say it? Illini?
I like to call it Illinois.
Illinois. Well, the Fighting Illini. Fight. What are they?
The Fighting Illinoisans.
Fighting Illini?
Illini. I always screw. See that? You know how you have words that you just can't get right? That's the one.
I've never
Fighting Illini. I can never say it right because I'm not a big Illinois fan.
I've never had a
I
word
like to
that
call
I
them the Fighting Alumnus.
The Fighting Alumnus works
okay,
for me.
That works. So
they just named their quarterback like 2 days ago. It was supposed to be both teams were like, oh, we're not going to name it. Who's going to name it first? They did name their quarterback, Tommy DeVito, a transfer from Syracuse. So he'll get the start. I mean, we kind of know who's going to start for Wyoming tomorrow, but they haven't. Craig Bohl hasn't announced it yet, but it's going to be Andrew Peasley.
Craig Bohl quickly falling out of favor with Wyoming fans?
I don't know about quickly, but
it's kind of a slow burn. Is that what you're saying?
You won a bowl game. You went to a bowl game. You won one last year.
But then you got decimated by the transfer portal.
But that's like, it seems like it's you either got helped by it or you got hurt by it. So it's like 50% of the country got torn up by it.
Laramie's got to be a tough place to sell to. I'm sorry. I know that's probably making a lot of Fort Collins fans really happy, but Laramie is not an easy place to sell to try and get people to come up there and go to college. I love Wyoming and I love Laramie.
No, but you're churning out NFL players lately.
True.
You know, very true. Matt Mumma he should be a big time player. Obviously, Josh Allen. You're getting big named guys. Yeah. So, I mean, you can look at it, but there's not a lot to do here. Well, do you want to go to the NFL? Because you go play inside linebacker for Wyoming, you might be able to turn some heads.
Well, and honestly, you see all these stories coming out. It might be a good thing that there's not a whole lot to do in Laramie without getting yourself in trouble. I mean, it really might be. You were talking on the whole show earlier. I thought it was a very interesting discussion about whether it's a good thing or bad thing when you have a quarterback battle. It is always, always, and I mean always, a bad thing when you have a quarterback battle.
What if they're really two really good quarterbacks?
I don't. Well,
what if it's like?
How often does that happen, though? When's the last time that you're like, I've got these two great quarterbacks going right now?
The Trey Lance, Jimmy G kind of deal?
But are either of them elite?
No, but they're. Trey Lance has got the high, high, high ceiling, and Jimmy G's like a B kind of minus player. That one's where I could see it being a good thing.
But do you still think that's a good thing that San Francisco's been having that loom over them?
No, and that's why they didn't really let it do
right,
it, I suppose.
Said, yeah, but we're going with Trey Lance. I just don't ever think that it's a good...
I don't mind a competition, but I like saying this is the number one guy.
Yeah, he's going to... And the number two guy is going to have to go get it.
If he sucks the next 2 weeks, then he's gone or he's down. But I like naming it. So, like, for even the Broncos saying at their backup quarterback position, I wish they would have just came out and said, Josh Johnson's he is the number two quarterback. Brett Rippon's going to have to try to make this team.
Yeah.
And then it changes. And maybe they kind of did loosely, but I've never really liked going into the season not saying who it is or waiting till the end of the preseason or whatever. Wyoming, though, as our guy Cody Tucker says, it's the worst kept secret.
In Laramie.
It's going to be Peasley. I mean, that's who's going to be the quarterback. But you talk about, like, what happened with Wyoming, and they're just absolutely decimated by the transfer portal. It was huge. I mean, they lost both of their prospective starting quarterbacks, bunch of defensive standouts, and then they get knocked out with some injuries throughout the course of the week.
Yeah.
So,
Buck Coors, former Resurrection
Christian.
Yeah, he
was moving up the depth chart. He was a big one. A good defensive lineman for this team goes out. So I look at this game tomorrow, and I guess here's how I'm hoping Illinois is just not good.
Yeah, me too.
That's
me
it, because I don't know that Wyoming's good.
No, I'm right there with you, Brady. And that's the thing. Like, I think that this game, like, if you're looking at this from a betting perspective, because let's face it, there's almost everybody out there has a betting app downloaded on their phone. Nebraska, or excuse me, I keep getting those two mixed up. Nebraska, Wyoming, kind of the same philosophies. Wyoming is 13.5-point underdogs. I think Wyoming runs the ball well enough
Titus Wend
tomorrow.
Titus Wend is a stud running back.
I think they run it well enough that it doesn't get away from them. I don't think it's a two-touchdown game.
I think it's going to be under the 43. And
that's dropping in a hurry, too. I checked right before we came in here. It's down to 42.5, I think.
I hit it at under 40. I didn't hit it yet, but on the air, I hit it at under 43. And I do think that you're right. I think that Wyoming just makes this a very slow football game.
Yeah.
Not a lot of points scored. Titus Svensson is a really good running back. He's going to give Roberts, the running back out of Air Force, a run for his money as far as being the top running back in the Mount West Conference. So as a sophomore last year, he had 800 yards. So he's the guy. Everybody knows it. Hasn't been able to stop him. So I see a big, heavy dose of Titus Svensson tomorrow.
That was a very good geographical point right there. Brady was trying to think of the name of the school where he about the running back. He was at Roberts, I think is what you said.
And I pointed
And you pointed exactly down to Colorado Springs. Yeah, well done by you.
Direction.
My morning show partner will be talking about, Estes, and he'll start pointing out east.
He gets lost inside.
He is so directionally and navigationally challenged.
I do a lot of pointing.
Yeah. Oh, you got to talk with your hands.
Yeah, pointing is a big thing.
So you're with me on Wyoming plus 13.5.
Yeah. I think it's you're just hoping that Illinois is just not very good.
I don't think
it's a second year coaching staff. I don't know. I mean, Illinois won 4 games last year, and this is the second year for most of those guys on the staff. So, I don't know what to expect. They're a Big Ten team, so
yeah.
Still somebody to take seriously, I suppose. But this is a big opportunity for Wyoming and the Mount West Conference. You want to start going out. There's, 5 Mount West games this weekend. We're talking about conference realignment, and could the Mountain West absorb the Pac-12 and they become some sort of Pac-type conference? You need to win games like this. Wyoming needs to win. So if you are a Mountain West team, if you're a Mountain West fan, if you're a Wyoming fan but you hate CSU, doesn't matter. You need to be rooting for these. You need to be rooting for a good showing between CSU and Michigan. You need to. If you're a CSU fan, you should be rooting for Wyoming tomorrow. I'm sorry, but you should be.
Yeah.
You need this conference to look good.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. Again, that's 2 o'clock tomorrow, getting the college football underway. Another Mountain West team that you talked about, Nevada taking on New Mexico State tomorrow.
And Nevada might win that, but they're going to be terrible.
They're
but New Mexico State's
half.
Bad.
Don't you like New Mexico State plus 8.5? Nevada just had their heart ripped out during the offseason. You lose Carson Strong to the draft. You lose Jay Norvell and anybody worth a damn who comes over to CSU. I know New Mexico State's bad, but Nevada, from the mental standpoint, are they going to be ready to go week one?
I'm surprised it's just an 8-point spread.
Yeah.
I don't think Nevada's good. I think they're going to be really, really bad. Get this, though. On Rams Weekly last night with Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire with the Colorado, when they were talking about the Nevada CSU game, because it's in Nevada this year, it's already almost a sellout.
Really?
Yeah, like they don't get that very often. So I said, wow, Jay Norvell's still helping you guys out.
That's very true.
He gets booed, by the way. I've been asking that question. I think that he'll get booed when he runs out on the stadium, out on the field.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think you can blame those fans for doing that. I don't think you can blame them for booing them.
But you can't blame anybody in this case.
No.
You can blame Nevada for not spending more money on football.
Right. That's it. Real quickly, just a couple of minutes left here in this segment. Wyoming, bowl team or not?
No.
No, they're not. This is
Although you win tomorrow, they got UNC in 2 weeks. That's another win.
Yeah.
Four more to go.
I don't think they'll win
tomorrow.
This is the hard part about sports talk radio this time of the year, because you're hearing all the hype from all these coaches, and you're like, I could talk myself into this.
Especially when you're like some of these insiders that we get on.
Yeah.
Like, they're out there every single day, and so when they talk, that's all they can go off of is what they hear.
Right.
But there's
no team out there, and we talked about this down at the Front Range Huddle earlier this week. There's no team out there that's like, you know what? We're probably going to take last in our division right now. Like,
yeah.
The hype for everybody is up there. There's some teams out there and fan bases that are trying to talk themselves into having extra hype, even though if they look themselves in the mirror, you're going to say, yeah, I think Wyoming's that. Okay, you could talk them into it. They were a bowl team last year. But if they look themselves in the mirror right now, this is not a good team.
No.
This is not a 6-win team.
But it's weird because Craig Bowl does typically have these teams where you don't have any reason to get too excited about them, and then next thing you know, they're like, 4-4 halfway through the season, and you're going, interesting, and then they put themselves in a situation where they win the next 3 out of 5 to get into a bowl game. So in that respect, it's hard to count them out, but I just... Injuries, transfer portal, they've been so depleted. They're going to run the ball, though. They are going to keep probably games to low scoring and give themselves shots.
That's the way to do it when you're a mediocre team. That is the best way to stay in a game. So we're on Wyoming plus 13.5 tomorrow. Lock it in.
Take that.
Take it. Lock it in. Go make a bunch of money. It is a football night in Northern Colorado presented by Martin Marietta. We're moments away from throwing it out to Mike and Clark, who are at Meade High School for the Meade Mavericks and the Windsor Wizards. We'll be back to wrap up football night when we come back on the other side on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Take me to the future. It's time you'll find just another color-coded crime. Incision and a suture. You told my friend we were dead if it don't matter when. A super cavitation.
Football Night in Northern Colorado, presented by Martin Marietta. I'm Tanner Schwint, co-host of Good Morning NoCo. Brady Hull, host of The Hull Show, joining me as well. There is no more exciting time for me, and this is how I came up, and this is how we both came up at KFKA, was through the Preps Radio side of things with Clark Johnson, when it's like, okay, it's go time now. You can feel it. You can feel the anticipation from all of the surrounding communities, and that's what I really love about Northern Colorado, Brady, is these small towns. You know, Friday nights, everybody knows where they're going to be at. It's going to be at the stadium. And it's a lot of fun seeing the anticipation, seeing these high school kids get out there and really start to perform. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's such a great time. I mean, you played, I played. You just remember that feeling that you get throughout the day at school, thinking you're in your jerseys or maybe you're dressing out nice, whatever, and you're just ready to go. And then when you start to get into your pregame stuff, you know, you get off the bus, You're lugging around your pads and your shoulder pads and all that stuff, your big bag, going to the locker room, you start changing out slowly, then you take the walk out on the field. All that stuff is just so cool. And, you know, I just wish all these kids luck, man. Nobody get hurt. Just play good football and don't get hurt tonight.
No, for sure. And that is what it's about. And these are the memories that, I mean, I don't know about you, but even still in my mind, these are the memories that I still I love reminiscing on every once in a while. Like, yeah, that was a fun time. And not necessarily the end result of the game, but just learning how to work as a team, right? And some of those bonds that you build and how to face adversity. It was really the first dose of, like, real talk. And there were some coaches out there that just shot me straight. I remember the first start that I got was a broadcast here on KFKA, and I went out there and threw four or five interceptions in that first one. I didn't
steal the clips from that.
I really didn't think I was going to, you know, get a ride back to Platte Valley after that. We took on Resurrection Christian, and that was the first time my quarterback's coach, Ben Fusco, who's now the head coach at Day Spring Christian, looked at me and said, "Hey, sun's going to come up tomorrow." And I remember vividly, I looked at him and said, "Are you sure about that?" Because it really didn't feel like it as a high school kid at the time. Stadium's packed. I went out there and we lost to a 1A team at the time. And that was that first dose of, okay, yeah, you know what? You made a mistake, but you got to bounce back. You got to own it. And there's just a lot of life lessons that are taught on the football field.
Yeah, no question. And again, it's everything that kind of goes into it. You know, you develop some really good friendships. And if you have a coach that's worth a darn, then you have somebody that you can kind of look up to and maybe you don't stay in touch with them when you're 25 or 36. But you think about some of those lessons that you learn. So again, that's a responsibility out for these high school football coaches in this area too, is yes, you want to put success out on the field, but you're impacting these 15, 16, 17, 18 year olds. It's going to stay with them for life. So if you're an idiot to these kids, they're going to carry that forever and think of you. So just try to be a good leader. Not everybody's going to like you, but again, that's a big responsibility.
Amen to that. Tonight's game, just warning you now, it's going to be a fast one tonight, as the Meade Mavericks and the Windsor Wizards both like to run the ball. Obviously, we know what Chris Jones does over at Windsor, but Meade likes to run the ball. I've set the over-under in the amount of times that Clark Johnson says, call the babysitter, we're going to be home early for this one, at 2.5. Clark said we're going way over that that tonight. So I plan on hearing that from Clark Johnson a lot tonight as these teams square off. Interesting, again, 4A Windsor Wizards down last year, 4-7 for them. And then on the other hand, you had the 3A team that was a runner-up that went 10-3 last year.
Yeah.
So, but does that? How much does that divisional separation really matter here from a 4A to a 3A team? If you're the 3A team, you got to be licking your chops right
and
now.
And sometimes it doesn't. It's weird, right? Because we, I remember so many Windsor Eton games we used to do, and that was Windsor, or Eton was 2A, Windsor was 3A at that time.
Yeah.
And it never really mattered. They always had really good games. Windsor would come out on top most of the time in the games I called anyway, but it was always really close. So it just depends, I suppose. If you're a good football team, you're a good football team.
Yeah.
You can go up again. It doesn't matter the classification.
It doesn't. And that was something that, I played on some good teams back at Platte Valley. I always wanted to try, a 3A team. I wanted to see where you stack up, because you see all these rankings. You see all these, you heard KFK talking about it. That was back when you were talking a little bit of preps on your program as well, Brady. I was sitting in my math class my senior year. I was listening to you and Bobby Fernandez, as you used to have him on for a weekly, and we would all tune in to listen to it. But you wanted to see where you stacked up with the rest of the state.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing that coaches always say, and we just heard it throughout our 13 days, 13 teams. You heard them talk about, no, we don't care about the outside noise, this and that. Yes, okay, you may not care about it as a coach. You do, first of all. And secondly, your players are paying attention as well to that. So it's exciting times. We're ready to go. Clark Johnson, Mike Danson, going to be on the call tonight. Off the, off the cuff here, Brady. Who you got tonight, Windsor or me?
I'm going to go Windsor.
That's where I'm at.
You know why? Because they're wizards.
They're wizards.
Big into that stuff, so.
Big, you want to talk about Harry Potter for the last 30 seconds we got here?
No, I you know what? I didn't cover a lot of Meade when I was doing high school games.
Right.
I like their colors, though, and all their mascot. It's cool. But I've always seen Windsor a lot, and Chris Jones, I know a lot more about him. That is the knowledge that I'm going to give
nice.
You based on.
That's where I'm at, too, and I'm taking Windsor in this one. All right, Clark Johnson, Mike Danson on the field. Coming back next, this has been Football Night in Northern Colorado, presented by Martin Marietta on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310. KFK, enjoy the game.